unprecedented things happen around the SEC. Multiple coaches being fired in early November, something we don't see. There could be some massive ripple effects that come out of this that just might affect Auburn. And that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of the Auburn Daily Show. Got our guest writer for auburndaily.com, Andrew Stefaniak, here to talk about that. Very, very much plugged in with the happenings of these other SEC schools. So what better person to have to talk about this than him? Want to thank you, as always, for joining the show. Andrew, want to thank you as a listener for listening, whether it be on a podcast or YouTube. Please support, like, subscribe, comment, review, all the things. Helps grow the show a ton. Well, let's just jump right into it. The biggest, most expensive elephant in the room. We got the news Sunday morning, which is crazy after coming off like a 40-something point win. Jimbo Fisher is out at Texas A&M. What did you... Okay, first thing. What was your thoughts when you got that news? Did you see it coming? Were you in shock? What was it?
Well, it was kind of a weird start to the morning. Zach called me, Zach Blackerby, my amazing boss. And, you know, it's early in the morning on a Sunday. You know, I'm trying to get up. I got to work a little bit, get ready for to watch some football. And Zach calls me and he goes, did you see? And I go, no, it's what? He goes, you got to work. I'm like, I'm going to get up in a little bit. I got like half an hour left in the 9 o'clock. He goes, nope, Jimbo Fisher just got fired. Get your behind up and get rocking and rolling now. I said, oh. So it definitely came as a shock. And I'll tell you this. How often do you see a coach get fired after a win, let alone a 51-10 win? Not often is the answer to that question. It was a bit surprising to me, frankly. But hearing from the AD over at A&M, Ross Bjork, he talked about how in a board meeting, even though the athletic higher-ups people, this was kind of predetermined on Thursday. So I think the decision was made before what played out on the field against Mississippi State for the Texas A&M Aggies. But this is going to have a big effect on the SEC as a whole because A&M is sucking in a lot of recruits every year, bringing these guys in. And now those guys got to go somewhere else. The guys in their 2024 class got to go somewhere else, including a few recruits that Auburn is very interested in.
I think there's one specifically that was right up the road from Auburn, five-star receiver, that is the biggest chatter around right now, none other than a Cam Coleman.
I don't see Cam Coleman being committed to Texas A&M much longer. It's kind of one of those, you know, and as all y'all will know, might not know, but I do the Locked On Aggies. And I'm at any moment preparing for the news that Cam Coleman has decommitted from Texas A&M. I expect that to be coming, like I said, any minute. Where he goes from there will be interesting. And I think all Auburn fans, as we sit here, we're kind of hoping, not hoping, I'm praying that you get one of the best players in this class to come catch passes for Hugh Freeze's football team.
Well, he is the top guy in this class so far. Texas A&M is ranked 5th in the SEC, 8th nationally. And, I mean, they got some good guys in this class. To my knowledge, I don't believe anybody has officially decommitted yet. Is that correct?
They've had two. The class was actually number 3 for quite a while. They had a kid named Draylon Miller, who was like the number 60 player in the class, a wide receiver decommit. And then they had a big offensive tackle.
Since the firing?
No, this was before the firing, I think. But what I'm saying is the class was much higher like 2 weeks ago than it is now.
Yeah, okay, it's been.
But yeah, they've lost a couple guys before the firing. Since the firing, they haven't lost any commits. But they have had a couple guys leaving the portal.
Got it. Yeah, that's what I was saying. I didn't think they'd lost any since then, but obviously beforehand, that's scary news there. So do you know, obviously there's Cam Coleman. What we're talking about here is, I mean, the recruiting standpoint, that's the lowest hanging fruit. Do you know of any other guys that Auburn may potentially be in the running for out of this class that they could potentially be looking to flip? The offensive
lineman, Cohen Eccles. I know Auburn has interest in Eccles. I know that he's picking up a lot of steam from all over. You know, since he's one of those guys, he wasn't ranked super high, and then he just kind of like blew up out of nowhere after he committed to A&M. And now he's a real hot commodity. And, you know, I've heard that a lot of people are after him, including Auburn. So, you know, we talk about you need some more offensive linemen. There's an opportunity, but a lot of the big-time programs are after this guy.
Well, that's some big news there. So then the other side of that now, Jimbo gone. And let's just – and then, of course, Zach Arnett, like the wild scenario there. One, just a few different angles here. One, Mississippi State now twice has gotten another coach fired after a win. Of course, the first being Gus Malzahn. And then a massive win for Jimbo Fisher, which I heard you about the – it was predetermined. I have some pretty strong feelings. The Gus thing was also – that was probably predetermined before that game as well, so the outcome really didn't matter. But I digress. It's just a funny correlation. And then, strangely enough, it was the both losers leave town game. Zach Arnett fired, and that one I think I saw coming a long time ago. When they were not using Rodgers anywhere near his capability, they went away from the air raid. You'd spent years building up this air raid offense to just say, you know what? We're going to completely just not use this at all. This has been a very effective weapon. It had been given SEC teams a really hard time now. Leach had got the thing finally recruited and running like a well-oiled machine, and Zach Arnett said, no, we're not doing that. We're going to reinvent it. It was a emotional hire. It very much felt like he was just an interim for a year. I think Mississippi State 100% made the right move. I don't think there was anywhere to go, and I don't think he was ready for that job yet. Now, also Mississippi State out with a coach. And then there is some chatter that, let's see, Mississippi State is 14th in the SEC. This is including Texas and Oklahoma now, so that would be out of 16 teams. 29th nationally. I would have to double check to see if they've lost any commits since that had happened. I don't know. If you know off the top of your head, if not, I can poke around and ask some folks. Folks at Auburn's after in this class?
I don't think that they're – what I've heard is it's more – the Texas A&M firing is much more relevant to Auburn than Mississippi State. A lot of those recruits, I don't think Auburn's big on any of those guys. Now, I could be wrong, and also, you know, maybe – there's some guys – there's two levels of recruiting. There's the guys that once they commit, you're like, eh, we don't really need them anyway. And then there's the Cam Coleman's who you're calling every single day regardless of if he's committed to Texas A&M or not. I think a lot of the guys at Mississippi State, if they were to decommit, you could see Hugh make a run at them, you know. But I don't think there's any guys that Hugh's like kept contact with since they've been committed. Now it's like, hey, you know, brighter pasture over here. I think A&M's the side where it's more like there's guys over there that Hugh's going to go after hard. Mississippi State, you might see that when some players decommit, but not that I've heard of right now.
Yeah, and then the angle we hadn't even gotten to yet where this is going to happen is most definitely going to be a few things. Because I think a lot of people see it is just, oh, well, guys can hit the portal. And you already saw that one receiver from A&M say he was verbally entering the portal, because I don't think he can officially enter until the 5th of December. And then the other side of it that, you know, people don't talk about just yet, but the coaching deal. So you're going to have a lot of assistant coaches out there hitting the market. And if Auburn has any, and you probably will, just you typically do every year, have some assistant coaches either be let go or assistant coaches take other jobs, what have you. There's going to be some openings up on the staff, and then you're going to have a lot more coaches that have been SEC assistants looking for other jobs. So that is a whole nother deal here. You're just going to have this massive pool of talent, whether it be players or coaches hitting. And then the next round of this is going to be hot seat. A lot of people are just eyeballing Billy Napier right now at Florida, saying, how much longer is that going to be? A lot of people are eyeballing Sam Pittman. Auburn already snagged Waller from Florida. And Florida has got a very strong class, 3rd in the SEC. Nationally, they are 5th. This is according to On3. So they got some guys in that Florida. But Florida class got some guys. And that was kind of the last thing really protecting Napier from the chopping block outside of the record. And it seems like other folks are poaching that class. Auburn's already done it. Rumors are they're not done. Other schools breathing down their neck too. Plus you got the success that Florida State's having under Norvell. It's a, it could be a scary thing for the Gators. I guess Pittman still surprises me. I still can't believe that he's there. I guess they're going to just let him ride the season out. Or is it one of those deals where one of these two schools is going to look at it and say there's so much turnover in the SEC, the coaching hunt is going to be way too competitive this year at this level. We don't want to risk going through that. We would maybe try to do this next year when it's not so hot. What are your thoughts on Florida and Arkansas for their next perspective?
It's funny. I had Jake Crane on my show this morning to talk about A&M's coaching search, and Florida came up for a minute. Mm-hmm. And we both agree. I lean toward Napier getting one more year, and mm-hmm. I lean toward them getting rid of Pittman. I think Pittman's gone. I mean, it just hasn't clicked there. It's frustrating for them with Rocket Sanders and KJ Jefferson and everything you've got over there to go. What are they now? 3-7? Is that three? They're 3-7?
I believe, yeah. Or maybe four. I think maybe the Florida was their fourth game.
Yeah, that could be. But they're either 3-7 or 4-6. And regardless, with what you have on that roster, that's not where they want to be. So I think Pittman's gone.
They are 3-7. I thought they were 4.
Three and seven with a quarterback who you could argue is, you know, going into the season was a top three, four, five quarterback in the SEC, and a top three, four, five running back in the SEC, two of the most important positions. You need to be much better than you were. Pittman's gone, I think. Yeah. Now, once again, recruiting-wise, I don't know much about their class. I don't know much about Auburn's interest in their class, but I haven't heard any rumblings there. Once again, it's mostly Texas A&M, but yeah, I don't think Pittman's there at the end of the year. I do think Napier will be, but I think Hugh's going to keep trying to poach more guys from their talented classes.
Yeah, 12th in the SEC, and then I think 22nd nationally. And like I said, the deal with that one is this may be more of a portal-type situation, depending upon how much Auburn gains or loses. If these guys from Arkansas, A&M, Mississippi State, potentially even Florida, respectively, say, hey, you're out. And then the other side of this, too, is poaching. Lane Kiffin is a name that you're hearing a lot. You probably will continue to hear the name a lot. Of does one of these other schools, I think A&M or Florida, if they did make the move at Florida, would be the schools that, does Kiffin jump ship there? Potentially, I've also heard UCLA as the one. All right, does Kiffin roll out to California potentially if the stars line up in that situation? Kiffin has kind of made a reputation for himself as being a floater, so unfortunately, that will just always be linked to him. You saw, sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself there. So let's say he leaves and you could have a potential another opening at Ole Miss. I don't know if there's any other coaches in the SEC aside from him that you could potentially be linked to other jobs. Maybe somebody, after they're having a hot year, tries to look at Drink and say, hey, you know, we got a lot more talent than Missouri does. You need to, or maybe Drink looks at it and says, it ain't going to ever get better than this for me at Missouri. I need to get out of town, especially with Texas and Oklahoma rolling in. And he tries to hedge another job. Aside from that, I think everybody else is pretty much safe where they're at. God willing, Saban retires. You know, I've been trying to speak this into existence for a while now. So another episode, another try. But it could not be done. So a lot of instability. And so I want to kind of rewind a little bit to this A&M thing. Do you think the move for Jimbo, potentially being in November, just potentially happening at all, do you think Texas and or especially Texas, but we'll add and or Oklahoma coming, may have had a little extra to do with that?
I've seen that argument on Twitter. A lot of people share that viewpoint. I don't think so. I think that what created that was a top five roster in college football and every year and continual losing, except for the COVID year where you're 9-1. That was it. That was Jimbo Fisher's peak. At Texas A&M, it's been mid. Yeah, he'll give you 8-4. He'll give you 7-5. Great. Who cares? You have one of the best rosters in the sport. I just think that, I mean, maybe that played a role. You know, I'm not saying definitely no, but I just think that they realized if we have the right coach, this team can compete for national championships, especially with the 12-team playoff coming mm-hmm. and all that. I mean, Texas A&M can compete for that. You just have to have the right guy, and they didn't have the right guy. I get a lot of people comment on my show that never understand my argument for Texas A&M. Everyone's like, it's a poverty program. They've never won anything. They've never – yeah, it's been rough. But if you have the right coach that can take this talent and win, the program is where it needs to be to compete for national championships. It hasn't because it hasn't had the right coach. NIL right. wasn't really a thing until whatever, what was it, 2019, whatever it was. You know, when Jimbo took over, Jimbo wasn't the right guy. It's not like NIL's been a thing for 40 years and you've had a top five roster for 40 years and never won. It's been under Jimbo. He was the wrong coach.
It was July. If you have
the right coach, this team can succeed.
I think July 21 is, I think, was the, because remember Bo Nix with the Milos like at midnight or 12:01. Yeah, exactly. You
know, so that's what I'm saying. 21. So NIL's only been a thing these last few years. Texas A&M's in a position where if they have the right guy, they can compete for national championships. I think you give them one season of like 8-4, maybe 9-3 to get settled in, and then bang, I think Texas A&M's top program in college football. People can call me crazy, but if they want to do that, they're crazy for not understanding what Texas A&M has when it comes to money. That was right. A rant. I've gotten a lot of hate comments over these last few days. I needed a platform to get that out, not on my show. So I appreciate it. I'll shut up about Texas A&M now.
Well, no, that's the biggest elephant in the room here. And then also, too, just with the precedents that this sets, it is with just, and I don't know if it has to do with early sign. This will be something I debate for the next few months here, just on the show and in my head. Does it have to do with, is it early signing day? Is it transfer portal? Is it these dates being a little weird where it's just, we don't do this now, I get behind the eight ball. But then you kind of look at it with playoffs going on in January. The coaches we'd want to get are probably have good bowl games or play in playoffs. So it's not like you can get your new guy in. So there's just a lot of weird things. And that's why I kind of like, I think early signing day should still be back, move back to February. Because, you know, how do you expect these kids to sign when they may not know who their coach is till January? Like, there's just a lot of, or, you know, if you are in the playoffs, hey, I'm going to take the A&M job, but I'm going to still coach at whatever school through the playoffs. And it's like, do you really feel like your guys are motivated? Do you take it silent? There's just all these different angles to it. And the word that I want to get to here that I think is very important that encompasses all this and how it kind of looped us back to Auburn here is stability. And all those things that we're getting at there kind of scream instability for these programs. And why, like, Auburn fans can really just kick back in the lazy boy and just grab a big old thing of popcorn here is Auburn had been going through this whole tumultuous situation twice now in 3 years. You had it with Gus Malzahn in 2020. And on top of that, you sprinkle in the whole COVID situation there. Then you have it with Brian Harsin that really started to bubble over just even a few months into his job and then just exploded. And then it was finally up. Oh, we're here again. People in the media are just absolutely just dumbfounded that we're having a coaching search already. And you didn't really see a precedence of coaches getting, I mean, most of the time coaches would get 3 or 4 years, pretty much standard, unless there was a four calls reason or they took another job. Now, I mean, Zach Arnett didn't even make it a full year. That might be a record for one of the fastest turnovers in the SEC of a coach just getting straight up let go for no calls. And then, obviously, Jimbo, not on a timeline situation, but of course, some money, which is nice for Auburn, because now the, I guess you could say the black spot of, oh, well, they paid Gus Malzahn all this money. No one remembers that anymore. That headline's gone. A&M has taken that. So I guess that kind of embarrassing mark of, hey, just bad contract going bad for you. You wasted all this money to pay this guy to leave. Doesn't really look so bad anymore. So a few ways of this, just the narrative of almost expensive buyout is that's not Auburn anymore. A&M mm-hmm. and Auburn, I don't think we'll ever be in a position to ever remotely scratch what A&M did, but stability here. So let's get back to this with Auburn. Hugh Freeze, not going to have a coaching search, actually getting things built right. Foundations are in there. Don't think you're going to see Hugh Freeze linked to any opening jobs for a variety of different reasons. This can be a really good thing for Auburn. Because even beforehand, when Auburn was riding high, oh, the Arkansas job's open up. Is Gus going to take the Arkansas job? And even early on, this is going to sound kind of crazy, but there were jobs linking Gus to an NFL, or rumors linking Gus to an NFL job. In hindsight, that can sound really funny, but if you go back in a time machine about 10 years, there was chatter. So this is really good for Auburn right now to not be in a massive changing chapter of college football, to not have to worry with all of this. And then, of course, what they got to do is they can just clean up everybody's mess in the sense of grabbing recruits, grabbing coaches, selling stability to the next kids. Because here's what we got, too. We got 2025 kids that are like, I don't know now. What I do? And then you can sell stability. You look at this team, you know, hot seat coaches. And that is something that had been recruited against Auburn for quite some time under Harsin, is these coaches are in these kids' ears like, oh, you know, that's don't know if that's a program you really want to go to. Harsin's not going to be there. And it was almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy, because Harsin probably would have been able to keep his job had he been able to get the recruits, but the other coach would tell him not to go there. Timing of the stability here.
Yeah. What do you think? It's a good point. I just think Auburn is in a good spot right now where you're recruiting at a high level, you're winning football games down the stretch. I mean, I think thinking back as an Auburn fan, this is the most fun time it's been to be an Auburn fan, I think, since like Kerryon Johnson and Stidham took them to the, you know, two wins over number one teams, go to the SEC championship. That's the most fun I've had. This is the most fun right now I've had as an Auburn football fan since that season. Do you agree with that statement, 2018?
Yeah, absolutely, because you really feel like for the first time, you mean 2017?
Yes.
Yeah, don't get that twisted.
Yes, no.
But you really feel like for the first time in a long time that there's actually something to look forward to, that there's building blocks for the next year and then the year after. And Auburn had just been very, very kind of nearsighted with what they were doing. And that was kind of the downfall of Gus, is you just did not really, and you definitely saw it as, all right, get a good year. How we feel about next year? And then obviously 17, you had just a horrific fall off to 18. Got a little bit better in 19. And then you have a really bad fall off in 20, which not even record-wise. I mean, they really should have lost to Arkansas and Ole Miss that game. They played in Mississippi State way too close. Some of the games were worse than the record even set on paper. So this is the timing here is good. And I hate to kind of say it this way, but it is a competition. It's you versus everybody else. People were rejoicing when Auburn was having these problems. But the difference here, and this is something I'm glad I remembered because I almost forgot to bring this point up. The difference here for Auburn versus some of these other schools is Auburn didn't have anything to lose. The best coaches they had on their staff, they were able to retain. And it wasn't like they had these marquee recruits in their class that other teams are trying to poach. And the good guys they did have in the class, they were fortunately also able to retain. So, yes, Auburn is still paying the prices, especially for that 2021 class. But these other teams where, especially I'm going to circle Florida here, and technically they haven't fired Napier yet. But if that class goes, Florida's in big trouble. A&M, if they lose some of these guys they got, on top of what's going to hit them in the portal, they're really going to be stuck in a massive rebuild situation. So it's
just as we sit here speaking, just lost had a kid flip to Georgia as we sit here and speak right now.
Oh, God, love it when stuff happens live on the show. Well, there we go. We spoke in existence. So who knows? Maybe that right there as we record live could be one of the straws that breaks the camel's back and gets Napier gone. Because obviously there's a big rivalry there. So that's a double dipper for bad. Not only did you lose a guy, but you lost it to a rival in an SEC.
You're going to be playing. Mm-hmm.
Guy you're going to be playing. And not division rival anymore.
Yeah.
It'll be before long, but still rival. And then obviously Florida, Georgia proximity. They're recruiting against each other. So it'll be definitely an interesting deal. I'm sure there will be a lot more turnover and moves happening as long as Auburn keeps those roots deep in the ground and keeps that foundation strong and weathers the storm. I feel really, really good about Auburn's chances to get through this. And finally, during coaching turnover season, not have any rumors, not actually have any coaches getting firing, and just can actually build the blocks to getting it done right. So that's going to bring it. That's going to wrap us up for this section. I do want to add one last thing before we conclude the show. We'll do a quick ad read real fast and thank our sponsor, Opelika Rage Room. We said it last episode. I want to remind everybody this episode too. They want to tell everybody it is okay to go to a rage room to celebrate wins. It doesn't have to be just losses. Isn't that right, Andrew?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You can still go break some stuff. Breaking stuff after a win arguably might be more fun than, because it's just, it's almost like, oh, you know, beat you.
I throw things at walls out of excitement all the time when I'm like watching a sporting event, like water bottle all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. That's totally fine. They want to let everybody know that. So check out Opelika Rage Room. Thank them for sponsoring our show. Go to our website, opelikaragedroom.com. You can book online. They have appointments open every day. And, of course, if you are in the Auburn-Opelika area traveling for some basketball games, traveling for New Mexico State or the Iron Bowl, make sure to include that in a stop before or after the games, tailgating season. They will be around. And then if you're in the Birmingham area, cannot make it down there, they do have a second location at Birmingham Rage Room. Make sure to check them out as well. And, of course, thank them for sponsoring the show. But last thing, this is another big elephant in the room. I can't say elephant in the room next week, so this is the last time we get to say that. That's, you don't, we don't talk about elephants during Iron Bowl week. But, Andrew, you have something you need to say to me.
Oh, man, I thought you were going to try and skip out on me. I didn't think we were going to have this conversation. I was upset. Nope. What I love about Memes is he's willing to sit here and eat a little bit of crow, which is part of it. Listen, I mean, when you do what we do, you know, we do this all the time. I host podcasts every day. You know how many times I have people comment and say something I talked about 4 months ago that just didn't happen, and people are like, "Oh, this aged well." Memes, you know, Auburn kicked the dog crap out of the Arkansas Razorbacks. And once again, you know, you didn't predict it. I'll add the caveat. I respect it. I'm going to give you a hard time for a minute. You're willing to sit here and take it, and you were open to it. I listened to your show the other day because I was curious to hear if you commented on it, and you did. And it was funny. But you were wrong on this one. The Auburn Tigers got it done. Peyton Thorne, I wouldn't say it was all thanks to him, but I did what he needed to do to win. They run the ball well. They punch him in the mouth early. Special teams, touchdown. We called that one a little bit. You know, and the Tigers get the big win. I think you need to predict them to lose against Alabama as well. That's what we need to happen.
Yeah, I most definitely. I gotta swallow some L's on this one. And I was happy. I said I was bound to be wrong. I'm happy to be wrong. You were very optimistic. I think you said even threw 200 down on the money line. I was sweating a little bit for you, and you get the final laugh here. For those out there listening, it's okay to just stand up and take it and say, you know what, I was wrong.
In
this case, happily wrong.
Very respectful.
Andrew was very much right. And you know what? That we had to literally, I think you texted me like during the game and it was like, hey, you know.
My favorite. I'll pull it up. I texted you the Grinch smile. Well, I guess I don't know if there's copyright. I'm not going to, but the Grinch smirk. You know about the meme, the little.
Yeah.
I texted you that. I think.
Yeah. And I think
right after half.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Auburn wasn't even up by 1,000 points at that point. It went from bad to worse. So, yep. I took it. And I will say, fun fact, and I will credit myself on this if anybody wants to sponsor any trips for me in the future. When I watch Auburn games in Florida, away games for Auburn, Auburn is now 2-0. That includes the LSU game in 2021. And then not only did they win an away game, but they won big time. So I'm just saying Auburn's season-marking away game wins happen when I'm in Florida, especially watching in a bar in Florida. So if anybody would like to sponsor trips, you must get a vacation home for big away game next season or subsequent seasons. There's some magic there. I think there's enough of a correlation to prove that this is 100% a science that we can back now. So I will happily take one for the team and go to Florida anytime Auburn's got an away game. We need
two's
to get
a
one,
streak. So. Two's a streak. Yeah. Happened twice.
Yep. Call it heating up. So Well, and then so we had to get that. And the last thing I want to kind of say here, just to end on this one, is New Mexico State this weekend. I think there's some interesting little tidbits on this. Last time Auburn has played against New Mexico State, 2012. But Auburn beat the absolute brakes out of them in 2012, the worst season in modern football history. They face up, and just over a decade later, Auburn beat them 42-7 in 2012. Auburn also barely scraped by with New Mexico State in the 2019 basketball Final Four run. If everybody remembers, that was the first game of the tournament. Barely beat them. And then on top of that, Hugh Freeze got obliterated by New Mexico State last year with his final game at Liberty. And this was a game that Liberty was favored to win by 24 points. And then they lost by if you factor in the spread too, there's a 59-point loss margin, which I think including the spread was the worst of all time in college football history. So is this a little bit of a revenge game for Hugh Freeze?
Could be. That's a big line. We joked about that before we started. You said they won by 35 and the line was 24 points. So it's like, Coach Freeze needs to, and I talked about it. We do have a report up at Auburn Daily that the starter for New Mexico State is, he's a little banged up. There's word he might not be able to give it a go, which would be a big deal. This is a good New Mexico State team. Auburn should win this by a handful of points. But what I'm saying is don't overlook an opponent, because this team can beat you if you do. So go out there, play your game, and you'll win this game easy in front of the fans in Jordan-Hare Stadium, setting up a very fun Iron Bowl.
Yeah, and then this too is just a funny little tidbit here. And obviously we're not going to spend a whole episode or even just more than just a handful of minutes on New Mexico State. The ESPN matchup predictor has it as a 94% chance for Auburn to win this game. I think that's a fair take. But we cannot forget the lessons that happened with Georgia State. Don't ever catch a team like this sleeping. They're 8-3. And also, too, this is a team that has faced against Hugh Freeze and his offense at Liberty a handful of times. So this is a team that and this is where it could be a little bit more head-scratching, where people are like, what is going on here? They know, especially with this offense evolving to what Hugh Freeze does now, and obviously it is going away from Philip Montgomery. Just watch out. They got some film. I don't think a watch out and this is they're going to win type deal. But if this isn't just a blowout play with your food game, it should be. It shouldn't be. But if there's some times where it seems like, wow, they seem like they really know what they're doing on defense or what have you, don't ever sleep on anybody. Because I think it was even Zach Blackerby was on the show with Brad Law was talking about, like, fans, we can look to the Iron Bowl. The players and coaches can't, which I think there's a fair point to that too. But don't get too puffy out with your chest. Keep everything going. This is an 8-3 team. They're second in Conference USA. Give them the reverence they deserve. This is probably the best non-con team that Auburn is going to face all year. Non-Power 5 non-con. Let me asterisk on that. So, and who knows, maybe you could have an argument they could beat Cal. But Andrew, I think that's going to conclude us for today's episode, unless you had any other final words on the mighty New Mexico State, or are they Cowboy Aggies? Aggies. Aggies of the year.
Like you said, we can overlook this game. So I'm excited for our conversation next week, which I'm sure will be about the Iron Bowl. So I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, yeah. It might be a handful. A handful of conversations there about the Iron Bowl. But, yep, that's going to wrap us up. Andrew, you want to tell everybody where they can check out what you've got going on?
Yeah, the all of our stuff at Auburn Daily, everybody does a great job over there. Love being a part of it. Check that out. And then a little plug for the Locked On Aggies with it being more relevant. If anyone is interested in the coaching search stuff for Texas A&M, you can find me at Locked On Aggies, wherever you get your podcasts or YouTube, if that interests you at all. But like I said, Auburn Daily, great people over there. Love working there. Would appreciate you checking out the stuff if you haven't already.
Make sure to do that. Of course, Check out all the written work, Auburn Daily, auburndaily.com. Of course, you can find Andrew's written work there, just as he said, on top of the other awesome staff they've got putting out stuff. Make sure to check them out on Twitter, Facebook, or just do the old-fashioned Google search, Auburn Daily. You can find me at Twitter at Auburn Memes. That's my at. You can also find me on Instagram there, trying to get better about posting on Instagram. And of course, the show on YouTube and wherever you get your podcast. Like, subscribe if you don't already. And then we're going to have, this is the time of the year the content is about to be rolling. Could be big news coming out. And who knows, there might be, if some really good news comes, be tuned in, because we might have to have some instant reaction shows that go out immediately. So we're going to cross our fingers and hope everybody reads between the lines of the news that we're hoping to hear. And if it does come, make sure to be listening, because it is going to be one of the most jubilant, bug-fueled, sunshine-pumped episodes you're ever going to get for Rifle Reason. Thank everybody for tuning into the show again, and make sure to check us out next time.